from the establishment of the judicial court between Iran and America, Dr. Mohebi has been the Iranian legal envoy to this tribunal. Therefore, I'm going to him, who was the head of Iran's legal office in The Hague for a period of time. He is the graduate of Lausanne University of Switzerland. He gave me his own book as a gift.
The Algiers Accords, which has been concluded between the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran through mediation and good offices, efforts of the government of the Algiers, goes back to nearly 35 years ago.
از 1980 تا حالا داره این دادگاه همچنان برگزار میشه، یعنی 1980 تا 2000 میشه 20 سال. 30 ساله، 30 سال یک دیوان طول کارش رو طول کشیدن واقعا غیر قابل پذیرشه.
This question is raised that why Iran is applicant for 16 cases while America is applicant for only one case. But why really? Despite investigating so many claims for the biggest demands of Iran, there hasn't been any verdicts yet.
By that document, the parties agreed that the U.S. diplomats being held in U.S. Embassy in Tehran shall be released against the deblocking and releasing of the Iranian assets actually blocked by the President of the United States at that time, who was President Jimmy Carter.
که این قولم وفا نمیشه. یک البته بخشش که اون تصویه اولیه بوده انجام شده، ولی بخشش که مربوط به این بوده که ما پولهایی رو دادیم، سلاحهایی رو زمان شاه خریدیم. حالا نه سلاح‌ها رو دولت ایالات آمریکا به ایران میده نه پول اون سلاح‌ها رو، و جالب هزینه انبارداری رو هم می‌گرفته از ما کسب می‌کرده. اینم یکی از موضوعات خنده‌داره.
But in between there was some other obligations by the United States towards Iran which could be itemized in four main categories. The assets of Iran in the United States, which was blocked by the Jimmy Carter executive order, was evaluated to be around $10 to $11 billion. This United States accepted in the Algiers Accord to terminate. Third main obligation by the United States was to return the assets and properties of the state of the Shah.
که این قولم وفا نمیشه.
In that case, Iran argues and believes that United States is again in breach of the Algiers Accord because it refrains to return back the diplomatic premises of Iran, diplomatic buildings of Iran in United States, and also violated the Algiers Accord due to non-return of the funds in the diplomatic accounts with the banks of Iran.
Despite the fact that, according to the Algeria statement, America promised to give all diplomatic properties and Iran's embassy buildings back to Iran's government, but they haven't returned them yet, bringing a poor excuse. America has rented out Iran's diplomatic buildings to different people for years. And by passing an anti-violence law in 2003, the American government allowed American courts to pay those who reach a verdict against Iran from the rent of diplomatic buildings.
یکی از مهمترینش اینه که آمریکا تأکید میکنه که هیچ مداخله در ایران نخواهد کرد.
Obligation by the United States was the obligation not to intervene in the internal affairs of Iran, politically and militarily. Iran referred to the tribunal again and brought case B1. And the tribunal decided that the failure by the United States in returning these parts of the military items is in violation of the principles of law and is tantamount to expropriation of the Iranian assets and Iranian properties. So the United States is obliged, if it argued that due to, say, to security reasons or due to national security reasons or some rules of the military conflicts, it is not in a position to return back these assets, then this decision by the United States is equal to expropriation of these items and should pay back Iran at least the price of them.
So this is quite interesting. And arming and supporting Saddam Hussein, as you say correctly, with intelligence, with logistics, with hardware, with software, everything you can think of was given to Saddam Hussein in order to encourage him to attack Iran. That was America's business, and Saddam Hussein was the boy who did it for them. Yeah.
I was said that the Americans spend at each minute for Iraq, $5,000 per minute.
I think that it has to do with, since Iraq was more or less the ally of America, that's why they provided them with a lot of these equipment and for Iraq to attack Iran.
Finally, the tribunal in case A27 decided against the United States and granted the Iranian claims. It means that the tribunal recognized that the enforcement system within the judiciary of the United States is not sufficiently proper for the enforcement of the awards issued by the Iran-US Claims Tribunal. And therefore, the United States government was forced to pay the sum of that award to the Iranian government.
Of course, Washington had the idea of punishing Iran. So all the policy in the whole region after 79 is a policy of trying to punish Iran.
The Iranian government believes that the conduct of the United States in allocating budget for taking efforts in order to upgrade democracy within Iran is a clear violation of Article 1 of the Algiers Accord, by which United States accepted not to intervene in Iranian affairs.
What is that? It's not an international situation. It is a situation created.
By signing the Algeria Statement, Iran kept all its promises and returned American hostages to their country, safe and sound. In the meantime, the attempted coups in Iran failed, and Iran's former king was buried in Egypt. Keeping the promises by America would help reduce the lack of trust. But after the passing of 30 years, since America hasn't kept the promises according to the Algeria Statement, this dissuaded Iranians from trusting them. They haven't returned Shah's properties, diplomatic properties, and neither military equipment. The military equipment Iran had bought were supposed to be given to another army.
وضعیت ایران بعد از انقلاب با اینکه 8 ماه از پیروز انقلاب میگذشت خیلی نابسامان بود. اغتشاشات در چهار سوی ایران رو به گسترش بود. حرکت‌های تروریستی و نظامی بعضن رخ میداد. وضعیت خیلی توش بحران بود. بحران سیاسی تقریبا میشه گفت ایران رو فرا گرفته بود.
Not long after the Islamic Revolution, Iran was gripped by internal divide. The ambition for more power had pitted the different political groups against each other. Although evidence of American involvement in fueling ethnic tensions in border areas was common knowledge, a separatist drive was gaining momentum in a number of cities across the country. In the absence of an organized army, the young revolutionaries were spending difficult days facing armed clashes. In fact, most of the military might and equipment was being used to restore order inside the country and solidify the revolution.
That there was an opinion in the United States particularly that the danger, the real danger, is coming from Iran.
So now the revolution happened and the revolution in 1979 destroyed the American design for the Persian Gulf. And then Saddam Hussein attacked Iran in fall 1980.
I think it was a miscalculation from the from the Saddam's party, because they thought that after the your revolution, when it was the end of the monarchy in your country, they thought that it would be a chaos, and then they will destroy, you know, the unity of the country. And then when they said, "This is the moment in which, you know, we are going to get one objective," was very important for them, was the control of Shatt al-Arab.
The flame of peace has a deeper meaning for those who lived through the destruction and bloodshed of the war. My childhood memories are full of children crying, of explosions, and of shattering glass. For 8 years, the deaths of those I knew were caused by one thing: searing hot bullets.
یکی از کشورهایی است که به ندرت در دنیا دیده میشه که جنایات جنگی رو به این گستردگی انجام داده باشه. حمله به مناطق مسکونی، حمله به مناطق آموزشی، حمله به مناطق باستانی و آثار باستانی و آثار مذهبی مثل مساجد و امامزاده ها. ولی جالبه که نه تنها محکوم نمیشه، بلکه حتی حمایت میشه.
Certainly, one must agree that the U.S. was the biggest supplier. There is no doubt about that. A lot of countries have supplied weapons to Iraq, to Saddam Hussein, to his government, and among them Germany.
And the whole reason why Saddam Hussein was installed was thanks to the West.
After Iraq's September 1980 invasion of Iran, the U.S. officially announced its neutral position. Despite that, the U.S. Foreign Secretary said at the United Nations that his country wasn't indifferent to helping friends. Immediately afterwards, the Jordanian capital Amman hosted a secret meeting between National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski and Iraqi President Saddam Hussein.
I think this happened especially in the Middle East. I think that a lot of problems during the last Gulf Wars are not caused by Iraq itself, but by the fact that we sold so many of military equipment to Iraq, because that time Iran was the enemy of the West and Iraq was our friend. Yeah.
So whatever they do is they try to weaken the other.
In March 1982, the U.S. Congress removed Iraq from its list of states supporting international terrorism, clearing the way for the sales of state-of-the-art military hardware to that country.
It is very clear, how to say it, that the U.S. are not accepting anybody disobedient. So if you're not doing what Washington says, you will be punished. So since Iran, for your example, was not doing America's will, and in 79 did an Islamic revolution and turned against the United States of America. Of course, Washington had the idea of punishing Iran. So all the policy in the whole region after 79 is a policy of trying to punish Iran. Since then, so that means since 31 years, we have a punishment policy.
The invasion by Iraq turns the Iranians' attention to the country's borders. Within a year, the influx of volunteer forces to the front lines makes up for the shortcoming of military, and gradually an impenetrable wall of people is formed along the borders. The stiff resistance causes concern among Saddam's supporters. The U.S. Foreign Secretary Alexander Haig, fearing Iranian advancement into Iraq, rushes to announce, "We are committed to protecting our interests in the region." Those interests and the interests of the whole world are protected by the political independence and territorial integrity of all the countries in the Persian Gulf region.
Thank you.
ایالات متحده آمریکا حسب ظاهر میگه که ما دخالت نمی کنیم، ما بی‌طرف هستیم. اینا چیزایی که مرتب تکرار شده، ولی ما از اثر پی به مؤثر میبریم. یعنی ما میخوام ببینیم که در نتیجه کار ما ببینیم که ایالات متحده در عمل چه کرده.
In December 1983, US President Ronald Reagan sent his special envoy Ronald Rumsfeld to Iraq to re-establish bilateral ties. Almost a year later, in November 1984, he received the Iraqi Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz at the White House. With that meeting, they resumed diplomatic ties after 17 years and put behind the bitter memory of the Six-Day War between the Arabs and Israel, which had enforced their embassies to close.
So, everybody knew that what was done with Iraq, this support to such a regime as Saddam Hussein's, especially military support, was bad.
The sound of the roaring warplanes overhead, the bombing of buildings, and the bloodstains near hospitals are bitter memories etched in my mind and the minds of those my age from the years of war. I don't know how one can forget the traumas of the war and the faces of those who fanned the flames of it. Those are things that can't be erased from the collective memories who went through those horrific years.